We're going to read some verses together from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse number 6. And I just want to speak this morning for a short while, very, very simply upon the subject of God's gift. God's gift. And we're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Second Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want to speak on that little verse number 15 for a while this morning. Speaking of God's gift, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And let's just unite our hearts and seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we bless Thee today for the gift of God, which is eternal life. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son. We thank Thee, Father God, for the gift of Thy Word. And, O God, we pray today that Thou wilt speak to our hearts. I confess my need. I confess my weakness. And, O God, we just cast ourselves at Thy feet, praying, loving Father, that Thou wilt speak mightily and effectually into hearts. Pray, Lord, for some today that are not yet saved, not right for heaven. Lord, in the broad road that leads to destruction, Lord, minister to their hearts. Draw them to Thyself. Visit us, we pray. Pour out Thy Spirit, we ask, in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I think it's safe to say that Christmas is generally a time for giving. And I'm sure yesterday, today, and maybe tomorrow as well, all of us will be involved in some way in the giving or the exchanging of gifts. And whenever we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's really a chapter that speaks much about giving. Giving to God, giving to the poor and needy, and giving to the work of God as well. Verse number 6 says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And there we see again the law of the harvest, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if a farmer goes forth with seed, and he sows a lot of seed, he's going to reap a big harvest. But if he sows sparingly, he's going to reap a meager harvest. And so it is with the law of giving in Scripture. Those that give gladly, generously, bountifully to God, they will receive a bountiful harvest, but those that sow sparingly shall also reap sparingly. I can remember a friend of mine, as we were talking once about giving and tithing to the Lord's work, this brother in the Lord said, I couldn't afford to tithe or give the tenth to the Lord's work. And I remember saying to him, well, I couldn't afford not to. Because those who give to the Lord are never found to be debtors. Because the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and you can never outgive God. I remember reading a little poem, and it said concerning a certain individual, there was a man, some called him mad, for the more he gave, the more he had. And I've discovered that God's pockets are deeper than ours, and you can't outgive God. And as it says in verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful there, it literally means a hilarious giver. Somebody that gives with a smile on their face and with a laughter in their hearts, and they love and they're glad to give unto the Lord. God has promised that he will make all grace abound to such an individual, that they always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. And certainly in the light of what God has given us, we ought to return with thanksgiving our gifts and our tithes and our offerings and our thanksgivings unto God, because it speaks in verse number 15 of God's unspeakable gift. And right throughout the Bible, from the beginning of Scripture to the end of the Bible, Old Testament and New, it continually reminds us about the goodness of God and the gift that God has given. Perhaps one of the most well-known verses in the New Testament is John chapter 3 and verse number 16, speaking of God's gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or how about Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Speaking of God's salvation, the Bible tells us that it's a gift. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So all throughout Scripture, we see again and again and again how God is a God who delights in bestowing gifts upon his people. Scripture says that every good and acceptable gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. And of course, the greatest gift that God has ever given is not even the gift of health, strength, finance, family, or any other thing, but the greatest gift that God has ever given to sinful men is the gift of his own dear Son, who loved us and who gave himself for us. Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I just want to say three very simple things about this little text that speaks about God's gift. First of all, thanksgiving for the gift. We ought to thank God for this gift. This is what Paul says. He quite simply says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The tragic reality is that we do live in a very thankless society. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21 concerning the natural man that rejects God and rejects the gospel and rejects God's word. Because that when they knew God, man might know that there is a God. He might even know everything that the Bible tells us about God. But it says that whenever man knew God, that he glorified him not as God, neither was thankful. And the reality is, we do live in a society that is not thankful towards God. Many today will be eating and drinking and making merry, but very few, perhaps, will lift their hearts to genuinely and honestly and earnestly thank God for the food on their table, a roof over their head, a family that they meet with, and least of all for the Savior that came to die upon the cross. And Scripture also tells us that in the last days perilous times shall come, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it tells us in verse 1 that one of the signs of society in the last days will be that men will be unthankful. And we're reminded, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he healed 10 lepers. And only one of them came back to give thanks to the Lord for touching them and for healing them and for preserving them. I heard a story recently about a ship that was sinking in 1860 in Lake Michigan in the United States. The name of the boat was the Lady Eglin. On board that ship that day, there was a young ministerial student by the name of Edward Spencer. He was a very healthy and strong and fit young man, and as the ship was going down and people were drowning, this young man risked his life saving the lives of 17 individuals. Such was the depth and the coldness of the water and the stress upon his body that he had his health damaged for the rest of his life because of exposure. He was no longer able to carry out his studies and was not able to enter the Christian ministry. In fact, he died just a few years after that event because of how it had damaged his health. It is said that after he died, that not one of the 17 people that he had rescued from drowning came back to thank him in any way, shape, or form. And yet we think of a Savior that came into this world and left the splendor of God's heaven and came into the world to die upon a cross, and yet how many people today are really thankful to the Lord? And all the while, the Word of God calls us to be thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10, the Lord says this to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 8:10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." And how many there are today, myself probably included, certainly tomorrow as we spend time with family, I know that, God willing, we will eat, and most of us will be full, probably have to go for a lie down this afternoon, round about 3 o'clock. But will we really be thankful to Almighty God for providing food upon our tables? We might be thankful to the person who has prepared time in the kitchen preparing the food, but will we be thankful to God for food upon our tables? Scripture says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter into his courts with praise. In fact, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." Even the things that maybe outwardly we're not thankful for and we find it difficult to give thanks for, we should give thanks anyway because it's a good thing to give thanks. My wife and I and the children were having our devotions quite a while ago in the home, and we read this story. It sort of made us laugh. It was about an old Christian woman. She was stricken with poverty. She didn't have very much in her home. And yet she loved the Lord and she praised the Lord. And she was always quick to witness and to speak for God. One day a family member who was a skeptic spoke to her and says, "Well, look at you. You talk about this God and you've really nothing to be thankful for." Says, "In fact, whenever I look at you and you try to smile at me, you've only got 2 teeth in your head. Can't even afford a decent set of dentures." And she says, "Well, I'm so thankful that the 2 teeth that I do have are opposite one another, so that I'm at least able to chew the food that God gives me." And we thought that was kind of amusing. Thanking God for the 2 teeth that you still have, just because they're opposite one another, and you can still chew your food. We have much today to be thankful for. Scripture says, "In everything, give thanks." The psalmist says, "Forget not the Lord and all his benefits. We hear a lot today about benefits with the welfare state, but the benefits that the Lord gives far outweigh and far outstrip any benefits that we can receive from government or for fellow man. The Lord has blessed us in so, so many different ways. He's blessed us with our faculties. We can talk today. We can listen. We can see. We can walk. We can stand on our own two feet. We might at times be troubled with ill health, but we can find our way to God's house. We can thank God for creation. We can thank God for food and for clothing. In fact, if we're honest, sometimes we have so much food that we don't know what to do with it. Sometimes we have so many clothes that we have to give them away and maybe even throw some of them out. We've got family. We've got fellowship. We've got the Word of God. And we've also got all the promises in the Word of God that speak of a Savior that's able to save us and take us right into heaven itself. One preacher once said, "Do not grumble because you don't get what you want, but be thankful and grateful that you do not get what you deserve." C.H. Spurgeon said, "It ought to be as habitual to us to thank God as it is to ask." We ought to be able by our lives, not just by our lips, to demonstrate how thankful we are to God for all that He has done for us. Matthew Henry said, "Thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better." John Blanchard said, "God is never more properly thanked for His goodness than by our godliness." And it's easy to come along like the Pharisees and to pray and to say, "Lord, thank you," but not really show that to the world by the way that we live. The Lord said concerning the Pharisees, "These people draw nigh to me with their lips, but in reality, their hearts are far, far from me." How do we demonstrate to God and to an incredulous world that we at least are thankful for what the Lord has done for us? Yes, we thank God with our lips. But we ought to thank God as well with our lives, by godliness, by holiness, by prayer, by praise, by a life of absolute surrender. And it is a good thing to give thanks. Not just in a moral sense, but it's good for the individual to give thanks. An individual from the United States by the names of Hans Sale, he was a famous researcher. He discovered in his studies that one of the most destructive emotions that a human can experience is the desire for revenge. Whenever somebody wrongs us, or we feel that somebody's wronged us, and we're overcome by a desire to get them in the long grass and to get back to them and to get back for them what they have done to us, that is a destructive emotion, not to the person that we want to have revenge against, but in the life of the person that desires that revenge. It's a destructive thing. Along with envy and covetousness and bitterness and jealousy and anger, all these things are destructive. But this individual discovered that the people that he looked at and the research that he carried out, the people that had the lowest levels of stress were the people who had the highest levels of gratitude and were thankful for what they had in life. And the more thankful a person is, generally, the more stressed a person is, or the less stressed a person really is. So this verse calls us to thanksgiving to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanksgiving for the gift. It also speaks of the measure of the gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The word unspeakable there literally means indescribable. Who could really describe how great this gift is that God has given us? It's literally unspeakable. We couldn't, with the English language, there's not enough adjectives in our English language, in our English dictionary, to describe how great the gift is that God has given us. What a gift the Lord Jesus Christ is to this world. What a gift the Lord Jesus Christ is to an individual. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. One of our Sunday school teachers in the church I grew up in, who went on to become an evangelist, said he was converted shortly after Christmas whenever a little girl was speaking and she was giving her testimony in an open-air meeting just outside his home, and he heard this singing, and he said to the wife, he says, "Open up that window. What's going on outside?" And she says, "It's one of those open-air things." And he says, "Well, what are they saying?" And so she opened the window, and this young girl was giving her testimony. And she said that there was one year whenever she wanted something especially special for Christmas. And she thought that if she only had this gift at Christmas time, she would be happy for the rest of the year. And she says it wasn't long after Christmas that she discovered that this gift wasn't going to satisfy her forever. And this man sat in his house and he listened to that and he just thought, "That's me." He says, "Everything that I've wanted in life, I wanted a wife, I wanted a family, I wanted my own business, and I wanted to play football for my country," and he got all those things, but he still wasn't happy, still wasn't satisfied. And so he went out to the side of the house to watch what was going on, and he says, "I was wringing my hands, and I knew that God was speaking to me, and I went up into my room, I fell down beside my bed, and I just wept my way into the kingdom of God." And he says, "I woke up the next morning, and I knew that something had happened, because it was the first full night's sleep I'd had for many years." And he said to his wife that day, he says, "Can you do something to me today or for me today? Will you go into town and buy me a Bible?" And his wife went into the town and bought him a Bible, and he had read the Bible in 3 months. Just getting up early in the morning and staying up late at night and reading the Bible, and he says, "It just came alive to me." And he received this wonderful gift, this indescribable gift that God had given him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Alpha and the Omega, the one who is the bread of life, the one who is the door of life, the one who is the great shepherd, the one who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is altogether lovely, the one who is full of grace and truth, the one who is plenteous in mercy, the one who is almighty, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is everywhere present, and the one who offers you life and salvation today. Who could really describe the greatness of this gift? Certainly in the light of his coming into this world. I can't describe what heaven's like. I can't describe how the Lord Jesus Christ left all that behind. I can't describe to you the glory of his virgin birth. I can't really describe to you how perfect he is. I can't describe to you really the life that he lived. I can't describe to you the agony of his sufferings. I can't describe to you that great gulf that he crossed and stemmed at Calvary. I can't describe to you the wonder of his resurrection. It's an unspeakable gift. Like an old Scottish lady said after she gets saved, she says, "It's better felt than telt." I can't describe it, but you need to experience it for yourself, O taste and see that the Lord is good. The measure of the gift, especially whenever you think of all the benefits that receiving this gift bestows upon the sinner. It makes a sinner a saint. It deals with a sinner's past. Takes all our guilt and all our sin and puts them under the blood and into the sea of God's forgetfulness. It not only deals with my past, but it deals with my present. It gives me a peace that endureth. It gives me a joy that the world cannot give. It gives me an assurance of my future as well, that my future is safe in the hands of God. And come what may, my God is in control, and nobody can pluck me out of his hand. And he's prepared heaven for me. We should literally be eternally grateful, especially whenever we think that none of us deserve this gift, and none of us even ask for it. God, out of his love, and his mercy, and his free grace bestowed this gift upon his people. God's gifts are free. But everything that the devil gives you, you have to pay for. You maybe think that you're having a good time in this world without the Lord. You're going to pay. It'll be payday someday. But God offers you a gift today, and it's free. And it's immeasurable, it's unspeakable. We can't describe how great this gift is, God's wonderful salvation. Thanksgiving for the gift, the measure of the gift. But this verse also, I believe, suggests the reception of the gift. We have to receive it. Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So he's able to look back to a time in his life whenever he received this gift from the Lord and it changed his life forever. It's something that you have to receive. Now, we can all understand that. Somebody gave you a gift yesterday or this morning or this afternoon or tomorrow at some other time. You know exactly what to do whenever they reach out their hand and they hand you a gift. You reach out your hand and you receive that gift. You don't try and put your hand into your pocket and say, well, how much do I owe you for it? How much is it going to cost me? You just put out your hand and you receive that gift. And the Bible says that it's the same with God's Son. John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And so the challenge this morning is, as we close this meeting, have you received this gift? Have you received the gift of God's Son? Can you say today, well, I thank God for this unspeakable gift? Or I have received the gift of God, which is eternal life. You can say that I know that I'm saved by grace through faith, and it's not of myself, it's the gift of God, and I just have received it. And it's changed my life completely. I wonder today, can you say that? Or have you come to despise this gift? Maybe you've counted it today as something cheap. Something to be trampled underfoot. Like a present that somebody gives you and you're so familiar with it and so accustomed with it that it's going to maybe go in some drawer and it's just going to lie there and you're not really going to be thankful for it because you've got so accustomed to the same sort of gift, and you're so accustomed today to hearing the gospel. You've heard it hundreds of times, and you still have not really genuinely received the gift of God's salvation. I know I told some of the people in the prayer meeting a while ago about a man that we met down in the ploughing match in the Republic. This man had been brought up as a Roman Catholic, very devout, found in the confessional literally every day, took Mass at least once a week, said his prayers, did the rosary, did everything that the church told him to do, but had no peace in his heart. No assurance of heaven. His life became broken, his family broke down, and he was at his wit's end. Until somehow he received either a New Testament or a gospel tract or some little portion of God's word. And he sat and he told us how that he sat as a broken man one night in his bedroom and he read the words of Ephesians chapter 2, where the Bible says that God's salvation is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. And he says that little verse just opened up for me the whole plan of God's salvation. He said, I discovered that for years I had been trying to work for something, trying to merit something, trying to earn something, when all the while God just wanted me to receive it as a gift. And he says, it might sound strange, and he told me his testimony. He says, I just got down on my knees, and I literally held out my hands, and he lifted up my eyes and my hearts toward heaven. And I just said, Lord, if salvation and forgiveness of sins and heaven is a gift, he says, well, Lord, I now receive by faith this gift. He says, I got up off my knees and I was a different person. And he said to me, that was almost 30 years ago. And this man just goes around the south of Ireland with a huge big sign. It's yellow with black writing. And all it says in the sign is John 3:7. And he goes to Gaelic games, hurling matches, Gaelic football matches. He goes to concerts. And he'll stand and he'll just hold up that sign. And then he says, the thing is about it, people just come up and they say, what is John 3:7? And he just says, you must be born again. And that's his little ministry. And he's literally famous in the Republic of Ireland. And it's all because there was a time in his life where he just said, Lord, I receive this gift. Now here we are in the last Lord's Day of 2011. And it's Christmas Day and it's a time for giving and exchanging gifts. But the challenge is to you today, have you received this unspeakable gift? Have you trusted the Lord? He offers you today forgiveness of sins. He offers you today peace. He offers you today contentment. He offers you a new beginning. He offers you a home in heaven. I wonder, will you receive this gift or will you trample it underfoot and count it as something worthless? But yet the Bible says it's an unspeakable gift. I trust today that the Lord will speak to your heart and you'll receive this gift. We're going to sing number 85 now in closing. And we'll just sing a couple of verses, hymn number 85. Verse number 1 and verse number 4. Verses 1 and 4 of number 85. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity.